THY crew, are you looking to discover your hidden why? Then take me up on this opportunity. It's a one-on-one complimentary coaching call valued at $250 where we chat and define your hidden why and the action steps that you can take to help living towards the life you truly desire. Guys, there's a limited amount of spaces available. What you can do is jump onto thehiddenwhy.com, go to the coaching tab, press the link, and then schedule a time that suits you. Would love to chat with you soon. This is episode 234 with Derek Rydell.
You're listening to The Hidden Why with your host, Lee.
To become worthy of anything, to be infinitely perfect, the seed has already been planted in you. That is a quote by Derek Rydell. And he is my guest today on the Hidden Why podcast. Guys, thank you for tuning in. Hope you're fantastic and well. My name is Lee Martinuzzi, aka The Hidden Why Guy. And it's just so great to have you on the show today. Here at the show, I'm all about inspiring and encouraging and working with people to really live a life true to themselves, because the top regret of the dying is that they didn't do that. And that's certainly what I don't want for myself, and I don't want for anyone that's tuning into this show. I work one-on-one with people. I inspire people through the podcast. And today is an exceptional interview, certainly so aligned with my message. Derek Rydell shares such great analogies in this chat about that seed, you know, that seed that we already have within us. And we just have to, through personal development, I guess, is really provide that seed the right environment so it just thrives and we can grow into that seed. And that seed will grow. I mean, we talk about the why and what is our why? What is that purpose? It's already within us, as he explains in this episode, and we just nourish it and we make it grow. And we don't know what sort of, you know, tree it might grow into, but once we get clear that it's already within us and we get clear on that vision, we can start mapping our way towards that life. And in that process, actually already live that life too. So great chat, Derek Rydell, guys. Reach out to him. Thank him for coming on the show. I'm pretty sure you'll enjoy this one. We only got to sort of chat for about half an hour, 40 minutes. Because he had to run to another appointment, but I think we fitted a lot in to that gap as well. So you'll really enjoy this show, guys. Straight to the point. If you do love it, guys, share it with your network. You've got the Facebook links, Twitter links, etc., and you can leave us a review on iTunes as well if you haven't been able to already. Derek's got some great links in this show, so if you haven't managed to jump onto thehiddenwhy.com yet, do that, because the links are there. There's a free e-course, plus some links to some great gifts through buying his book, etc., called Emergence. It was a bestseller. Guys, you'll love this show. Really enjoy it. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks heaps, and talk soon.
This is The Hidden Why, discussing ideas and thoughts on living life with passion and finding your hidden why, your reason, your purpose.
G'day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Hidden Why podcast. I am joined today by Derek Rydell. Pumped and excited, Derek, to have you on board. How are you?
I am doing exceptional, my brother. It's great to be here, and it's just an honor and a pleasure.
It's really good to connect, Derek. I heard about you, I think, on another podcast, actually, and then I saw your message, and your banner says, find your passion, live your purpose, and make an impact, and really, that's what the message we want to encourage and share and inspire our audience here at The Hidden Why. So good to connect with you and have you on the show. For the audience, you are a new generation spiritual visionary or thought leader. You have a best-selling book called Emergence, 7 Steps for Radical Life Change. So you're doing it quite a bit, and I know you're a coach and work with executives and Fortune 500 companies and really trying to make an impact there yourself. Tell us, in your words, what you do, Derek.
Yeah, I'm still figuring that out, but no, seriously, it's a never-ending unfoldment of discovery. But fundamentally,
it's interesting that
I do help. Yeah, right. I do help people to discover who they really are, why they really are, and what really here to contribute, to become, to achieve. And the hidden why, it's like, why are you really here? Why do you really want to do what you want to do? And what is the thing you're really here to do? So find your passion, live your purpose, make an impact is really what it's all about. And that's what life is all about. You know, if you want to know what's the meaning of life, life's only desire is to live more and more fully. And whatever moves you in the direction of living more fully, more joy, more passion, more love, more creativity, more fulfillment in a way that serves everyone and doesn't take any pay from anyone, that's the purpose of life. That's the meaning of life. And so I help people get there in alignment with that principle of successful living, yeah. Whether you're a executive or a parent or a teacher or an author or creator or healer or coach, and get into alignment with that, discover what that is, and then design a way of life that supports.
Yeah, sounds cool. So appropriate for the show, Derek. So great to have you here, and I look forward to delving into some of these topics a little bit further. First of all, I just want to, because you sort of started on it, you know, you're still searching, still finding out perhaps your purpose, your why. And I just had this question thrown at me yesterday, and I thought, well, really, you know, your why is evolutionary, but you can start working towards that and developing it. And as you grow, you sort of shoot off in, you know, directions and find other interests and curiosities, and that just builds to your why, your purpose. But for what do you say? What do you say the why is for most people? Is it there straight away, or?
Yeah, great question. It's not that our purpose evolves; it's that our awareness of it evolves.
Right. Okay.
So it's like the emergence work that I do. You know, you talked about my book Emergence. I'm known for a principle I coined called the Law of Emergence. And it basically says that, just as the oak tree, or really any tree, is already in the seed doesn't go out and attract an oak or make an oak happen or earn an oak or improve itself into an oak. When the seed yields to the soil and the conditions in the soil match the pattern already in the seed, its inherent potential naturally emerges. Yep. So this is how all of nature works. Nature is emergent. There's already a perfect idea in that seed. Well, likewise, there's already a perfect seed planted within us. There's a perfect idea, a perfect pattern, whether it's in your overall life and also in your job, your relationships, your business, etc. There's a perfect seed pattern, and it's already complete. It's already done. You can't improve upon it. You can't actually destroy it. You are either creating the conditions that are alignment with it or congruent with it, or you are creating conditions that are not congruent with it. If you've got a certain kind of a seed that needs a lot of sun, a lot of light, a lot of water, and a certain kind of food, and you're not giving that, that seed won't flourish, it won't thrive, it may not even grow. And if you curse the seed or curse the soil or curse the sky, why is this not working? It has nothing to do with what's true and what's in potential of the seed. It's just, you don't know what kind of seed you've got and you haven't created the right conditions. And so when you understand what seed is in you, and then you start to learn how to create the right conditions for the growth of that in your life starts to thrive. You know, when I learned this and I understood this, my life had fallen apart. Mm. I was broke. I was broken. I was literally suicidal. I was living on 19 cents boxes of macaroni and cheese in a little one-room apartment. And as I began to understand this and I was struggling to improve my life for so many years. And when I finally understood this and began to bring my life into alignment with this seed of potential that was already in me, my life began to flourish. And I went from that place to million-dollar homes and traveling the world and growing seven-figure business. And all the things I've been struggling for began to unfold in my life and emerge in my life. And many of the things I thought I wanted, I discovered I really didn't. They were societal beliefs or peer pressure or parental fantasies. And I began to discover even more what was always in me aching to come out and what brought me more joy and fulfillment than I could have even imagined. All of that happened as I began to bring my life more in integrity with the seed. You could call it your soul, you can call it your spirit, you can call it whatever you want to call it. What matters is that you create a life that calls it forth into expression. And as I went along that journey, the seed would start to emerge and grow, and I would be, you know, moving in that direction. But then a new little sprout would come up, And I'd be like, oh, and there's this too, you know, and then, oh, it's not a pine tree. It's an oak tree after all. It's an apple tree. Wait, I thought it was this kind of tree. It's actually starting to produce fruit. It's actually a fruit tree. So you discover as it grows and evolves more and more of what was there. And it looks sometimes like you're changing courses and changing paths or you're evolving your purpose. But what's really happening is you're just becoming more awake, more aware, more expanded,
more and clear.
Exactly. Clearer of what was always in you trying to come out.
Yeah. Oh, so well explained. What a great analogy. It puts it in perfect vision in my mind. So thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, got a few questions there, Derek. How, and I don't know if these are too personal, but how many years ago was it when you found yourself in that state where life wasn't great?
You know, that was a little over 20 years ago.
Okay.
And, you know, I had been struggling to improve my life for over a decade or more. And after about a decade of self-improvement therapies, the only thing I'd improved was my ability to describe why my life was so screwed up.
Yep.
So I got very good at that. I could point to when I was 5, my mommy didn't love me. When I was 6, my daddy looked at my report card and said, saw all in the 1B and said, what's with the B, son? And so I felt like I was never good enough. And I could point to all that. Mm. But my life was still not working and I was still struggling and I almost died. I got addicted to drugs and alcohol as a result, almost died of an overdose. And then became very reckless in my life and then almost drowned to death when I went diving alone in a reef. And that finally cracked me open. And I had this, you know, blinding light moment where I saw that the way I was living was wrong, that my model of how I thought I was supposed to grow was backwards. In fact, the model of how most of us have learned self-improvement was an oxymoron. I could see that the self was already perfect, like the seed. And you couldn't improve upon it. And that most of my efforts to try to merely fix, change, manipulate, or improve my life were creating most of the resistance to what was naturally trying to change and creating most of the suffering. And when I got that shift, that reversal, and I began to, you know, it's like I could see that all of life was on my side, but I had to get on my own side. I had to really start to come into alignment with the fact that I already had everything that I needed, that I was already good enough, that I already had everything within me to become all that I was meant to be. And most of my efforts to fix and change and heal and manipulate was a constant form of violence to myself, to my psyche. And I was just rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. And when I began to realize, no, there's something good and perfect about me already. There's something whole and valuable about me. I'm not a mistake. I'm not an accident. I'm here for a specific reason. I showed up as an answer to somebody's prayer. Let me touch with what that is. Let me start to think about myself and feel about myself and organize my life as if I wasn't a mistake or a problem to be solved, but that I was a great masterpiece waiting to be painted and start to live that way. And as I did that, my life got into integrity and I wasn't living so much in resistance to the natural flow of nature. And it just starts, and of course I break it down step by step by step, how to live your life, how to organize your life in my book.
Yeah.
But that was really the big shift. You know, the big way we've been conditioned that we're broken, we're damaged, something's lacking, something's missing, something's wrong, or the world is broken and damaged, and we got to do all this stuff to make ourselves good enough. We have to heal ourselves, fix ourselves. It's like it's as if we've been conditioned to believe we're a bunch of empty shells, empty seeds, and we have to take this world and fill our seed up.
Yeah, as opposed totally to the opposite. Yeah, wrong.
Totally the opposite, right? And when I got that, it was like, whoa, it was a complete radical shift. And also the big misconditioning is that we think the thing we need is out there. You know, if only they would change or the economy would get better or my spouse would validate me more or my boss would respect me more or if only someone or something would change or be different, then I could be enough, have enough and do enough. But actually – the exact opposite is true. As I say in the emergence work, whatever's missing is what you're not giving. Whatever you're waiting for, you're actually waiting with it and you're weighing it down. And that instead we have to do what I call the great reversal and start to activate and generate and become, as Gandhi said, be the change you want to see in your world. And as that all shifted, it's almost like I turned on this inner power plant, this divine power plant, and was starting to generate the clarity and the joy and the peace and the aliveness and all the things I've been waiting for. I started generating. Mm. And as I was able to do that, my life started reshaping around this new level that I was showing up as a matter of fact, really super quick. So one of the points where I really got to practice this, everything had fallen apart and I needed to get a job.
Was this in your 20s, sort of when you were having these?
Yeah, it was in my 20s. Exactly.
Okay.
And then around 30-ish, I had to go get a job as a waiter, and I'd been this up and coming actor. And then I had to now go and get a job as a waiter. And I was so humiliated and I hated it. And as I began to show up and bring this work and start to go, well, if I'm living my dream, how would I feel and who would I be? And I started showing up that way and giving my best and bringing excellence and talent and skill and service and joy. And I got fired from that waiter's job 3 times.
Nice.
And every time I got fired, it was because they were like, why are you being so excellent? You're making us all look bad. And I kept getting rehired because one of the managers was like, you're doing an amazing job. I don't understand what's going on here. And so I kept showing up more and more and more. And eventually, when I finally left for the 3rd time, I realized that what was happening is as I kept showing up, that environment couldn't contain me. I was outgrowing it and it kept spitting me out. And within about a month of being fired for the 3rd time, I got hired doing a job where I made 20 times more. I went from waiting on people in a 3-star restaurant to whining and dining, being wined and dined in 5-star restaurants all around the country.
Yeah.
And doing work I really loved. But what I realized is that new life did not happen after the job as a waiter. It actually was developed and built while I was on that job. It's kind of like one more analogy I'll add. It's like to use nature again. If a little plant is in a little pot,
yeah.
And if it had self-consciousness, if it was like looking at all the bigger pots in the field and going, why am I in such a little pot? Why don't I get a bigger pot? This sucks. I'm going to sit around and wait till I get a bigger pot. Then I'm really going to grow.
Yeah.
Well, what's going to happen to that little plant? It's going to stay in the little pot.
Mm.
But if it goes, okay, let me make the most of this little pot. Let me dig my roots as deep as they'll go. Let me spread my branches as far as they'll go. Let me take advantage of all the nutrients and nutrition that's available to me here. And as that, it's going to outgrow the pot. And what's the gardener going to do? Plant it in a bigger pot,
yeah.
And then a bigger pot, and ultimately set it free in the field. And the same is true for us. We're waiting for all these conditions to change, and then we're going to really show up. Then, when my spouse is nicer to me, then I'll be more loving. When my boss gives me more respect, then I'll give my very, very best. When I get, more money, then I'll be charitable. It doesn't work that way. Mm. It works exactly the opposite.
Do the most with what we've got, and good things will sort of show up.
Well, it's not just good things will show up. That's why I want to really people. This is not some magical thinking.
Yeah.
It's that you do the most with what you got. That brings you into integrity with what's already true about you.
Yeah. Right.
That allows the seed of potential already in you to crack open and grow. And as it grows, it looks like more showing up and more opportunity. But what's really happening is more of you is showing up.
Hmm. So is that being more visible then, more noticed, so people would, more likely select you?
Well, it's not a manipulation in that regard. Like if you just give your best, others will recognize and reward you for your talents and the value you're bringing. That is what happens.
Yeah.
But that's not fundamentally why you do it. Hmm. it's, again, you know, the little plant's not doing it so that the gardener will notice them and say, oh, what a good little plant you are. Let me put you in a bigger pot. The plant is getting replanted because it's literally too big for the pot it's in. And so the universe is so efficient that as you show up and bring more and more and more of yourself, it's always trying to expand and express more of itself. Life, that's the nature of life. So if you're bringing more love to the party, it's like a wife, you know, we wanted to have kids and it wasn't happening. And we were kind of waiting for it to happen. And instead what we decided to do is, well, if we had kids, if we were parents, how would we be showing up in our life? How would we be with each other? How would we, you know, how much love would we be bringing to the party? So we started, you know, treating our cats better and loving them and celebrating our connection and valuing our home and bringing the qualities of family and togetherness and all these qualities, and our heart expanded and we felt more joy and more play and all the feelings and qualities of people that are fully alive, fully loving, parenting our children like in the form of these cats and these plants and whatever. And that energy of love, it got so big, it always is going to seek a larger platform. The qualities are always seeking a larger platform. And sure enough, as we reach this sort of apotheosis of all we could possibly express in our lives, she got pregnant.
Yeah, right.
And so it's the same thing with abundance. It's like, oh, if I had more money, then I would be more generous or more charitable, or I would invest in my business more. Doesn't work that way. It has to come from you. It's like, you know, if you are willing to take what you have and start using it to the max, it's like that story in the Old Testament with the prophet. I think it's like Elijah goes to a woman and she's like, I'm sorry, I don't have much to give you. I just have this little grain in a barrel and this little bit of oil. But instead what she did, she's like, let me take everything I've got in my house and like make the most of it and really take care of this man and celebrate and really be the greatest host. And as she did that with the little bit she had, suddenly her grain barrel was bottomless. Mm. And it's a metaphor. It's a metaphor. When we take what we have and we no longer wait for anyone or anything to change, but if you want to be a writer, write every day and put it out there. If you want to be an entrepreneur, start building that business today, even if it's a lemonade stand on the corner. If you want to be charitable and philanthropic, but you don't think you have the money, take what you do have and start investing or sharing a portion of that. Whatever it is, show up fully, fill out the pot you're planted in, inside and out, start generating this energy, start filling yourself up, filling the, you know, your pot out, whatever the thing is, and you will activate more resources. There's never a lack of resource. There's only a lack of resourcefulness.
Yeah.
And so as you generate more, you become more resourceful. You literally activate more of what's in you, that latent, what the poet calls the imprisoned splendor. And it starts to unfold as new insights, new opportunities, new guidance, more power, more creativity. Yeah. It just starts showing up. Mm. And then the next step reveals itself, and then the next step, and before you know it, your life is flourishing at a whole new level.
Really cool. Really interesting perspective on how to approach life makes more sense to me as I've gone through my changes over the last 5 years or so, and certainly what you're saying there is fantastic. I love it. What is it about self-help then? Like, I mean, I understand, like, we have it already within us. Our potential's there. We just have to, I suppose my interpretation of it is, really understand of how we want to be in this world and then start living to our fullest of being that. And then as that unfolds, it'll just, obviously become more aware of our full potential and become more resourceful in making, I guess, greater things happen. But what isn't self-improvement part of that?
Yeah, so I make a distinction between self-improvement and personal development.
Right.
And so, or even self-help. So self-improvement is an oxymoron, because when you understand, it's like a gardener saying, I need a little bit of seed improvement, you know, S-E-E-D improvement. I'm doing some seed improvement today. Obviously, that doesn't make any sense. What do you mean? How are you improving the seed? you wouldn't improve upon the seed. Mm. So you can't improve upon the self. The self is perfect. It already has everything it needs.
Right.
But you can develop the soil to be more and more congruent for the full expression of that seed. So personal development, let's just say, so step one is you got to get clear on what is the seed?
Right.
What is your vision? You got to know where you're going, because if you don't know where you're going, every road will take you there. In other words, you'll be lost.
I get this question a lot myself, but how do we help others find that vision, you know, and create that? Because I was always a dreamer. I had dreams and I easily sort of, you know, decided on what I wanted to visualize as my future. But how do you help others do that, that maybe have more difficulty?
Absolutely. It's one of the biggest questions I get too. Well, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I've got a million choices. How do I know which one?
Yeah.
Or I have no idea. How do I even begin to choose?
But it can also be misguided, I find, by, you know, our conditioning. Like we think we want all this, but we absolutely don't necessarily.
Absolutely. And there's good news about that I'll share with you. So, because even if you're going in the wrong direction, but you are in the right mindset, you will get adjusted.
Yes.
So, but if you're waiting for all the directions to be absolutely sure, absolutely clear, you'll never get moving. That's like you sitting in your driveway, looking at the GPS and going, well, I'll start driving when you give me all the directions. And the GPS is like, I'll start giving you directions if you start driving, you know? So you got to be moving to get direction. You can't just sit there and go, where's all the directions? You know, the universe versus like, it's kind of on a need to know basis. But you can have a sense of where you're going. And there are certain clues to what that is, because it's actually, because this seed within you, this idea within you is literally speaking to you in every area of your life. We just haven't learned how to read the signs. And one of the most simplest signs is our deepest burning heart's desires.
Yes.
Now, I don't mean merely those passing desires or those trendy desires or those mere materialistic desires, although sometimes even those give us a clue. You know, unfortunately, most people have a bigger TV screen than they do vision for their life. And so they are, you know, and so if all you're following is your desire to have more money, a bigger TV screen, you know, more vacation time, it's not that there's not some potential clue in all that, but that's not your deepest heart's desire.
Okay.
Right? If you say to yourself, if I was guaranteed to succeed and I could really be the person I really want to be and I could make the difference I really want to make or create the thing I really want to create, and I would succeed and I would be brilliant at it and I would be loved and accepted, what is that? What do I really want to be? And you're like, well, I just want a job. I want to be able to pay my rent. Okay, I get that. But if you really could be the thing you really want to be and create or contribute the way you really want, and like you got to sit with that sometimes, because a lot of people have layers of coping mechanisms and survival mechanisms. All the dust of the journey has covered up like an artifact, like an archaeological dig. It's covered up the real treasure of their soul. So you got to kind of sit with it and go, I know you want to pay your bills. I know you want to have money. That's fine. But now if you could let's just say you got all that. You got the money. You got the bills paid. Now what? If you could really be what you want, and you start to sit with that person, or they sit with themselves and they go, well, I mean, if I could really be, I mean, are you saying like if I could really, like, and I wouldn't be a fool and people wouldn't think I was crazy, or yeah, exactly. If you could really be that or really make that. They're like, well, I mean, this is going to sound stupid, but I remember when I was a kid, I used to always dream about, you know, like if I could just, I don't know, it was stupid. You know, I thought maybe I'd want to be an artist, you know, but my dad was like, artists are live below the poverty level. So that's a stupid idea. So I went and instead became an exec. Okay. Well, let's go back to that. Let's stay with that. You know, let's look a little bit deeper. Let's excavate that art. Dig.
Yeah.
It's like, so what would, if you could be an artist, you'd want to? Well, yeah, I mean, but that's stupid. How do you make a living? Well, hold on. Let's not look at the how yet. The how will kill the what every time if you don't get clear on the what. So don't worry about how. If you could have what you deeply, deeply desire and you could be the person you want to be, well, I'd want to be a person that you know, really makes a difference. Where would you want to make a difference? Well, I mean, it's impossible. I'm never going to be able to make a difference. I know it's impossible, but if you could, you know, and you got to keep teasing it out, right?
Yeah.
We got to dig. And we got to talk to ourselves that way. It's like that part of my mind. Yeah, I know it's impossible. It's never going to happen. But if it could, what would it be? Well, it's stupid. It's impossible. People will think I'm an idiot. But if it could, I would want to, you know, help develop an organization that freed, you know, helped take care of children or helped women or whatever. And you start to go, okay, let's keep teasing that out. And what you start to notice as you're willing to stay in that deep heart's desire long enough is there's an energy that starts to come with it.
Yeah.
And you're like, I can feel it right now, even as I'm talking, there's like this activation, this download, and you'll feel, and very often there'll be tears. There'll be a heart cracking open. I can almost feel the tears behind my own eyes. I can almost feel intuitively how people feel that are listening to this, is that there'll be, your heart will crack open. You'll feel the grief and the sadness of all the time that you haven't been being true to yourself. That's all natural. That's all normal. You got to move through that. And you'll be like, oh God, if I could really live this. And suddenly new life starts, the little green tips of a new bud starts to break through the surface. And you're like, yeah, man, if I could write books, or if I could play music, could, you know, help coach kids on this, or if I could, I mean, yeah, that would be like a dream come true.
Mm.
Okay, we can work with that.
Yeah.
And then you start to articulate that and say, okay, and who would you want to be, and who specifically would you want to help, or where specifically would you want to make a difference, and what specifically and how then would you want to create this? And then we really give ourselves time to articulate that vision. That's step one.
Love it. Yeah.
Now we can move into step two, which is, okay, you have a beautiful seed here. Now, we don't know if this is what the vision is going to look like. We just know that there's juice there. There's energy there. And that's all that matters. Even if your vision ultimately is, I want to be a multimillionaire and have a big company and a big mansion on a hill, and that's feeling juicy and inspiring, that's fine. And that may be what happens. But that's okay. Even if the picture comes out exactly like that, what we're looking for is the juice.
Something, the juice, fire. The directions, right, for the GPS to start sort of putting in mapping a course, exactly, for us. What's the difference between, just quickly, a dream and a vision then? Is there a difference, or are they essentially the same thing?
You know, well, they're essentially the same. The difference is, when we think of a dream, we often think of as something that we hope for and wish for, and it's kind of like this somewhat ethereal thing in the future. And yep, an actual vision, when you're actually tapped, and I like to say dreams don't come true, they already are. You have to be true to them.
Yep.
But the vision itself, real vision, is not a prediction of what could happen in the future, or a hope or a dream. Tapping in. I want people to understand this. You're actually tapping in to the thing itself.
Yeah.
So the vision is right here, right now. Think of it like this. Right now, everybody, you're inundated with radio broadcasts. And somewhere in that radio broadcast, your favorite song is playing, and or one of your favorite songs, but it's not manifest in your life experience in this moment until you tune the dial of your radio so that the frequency of that radio matches the frequency of the station your song is playing on. The minute your frequency is that frequency, that station becomes manifest, or as I like to say, you have a manifestation. And that music wasn't playing in the future. It was playing right where you are all the time, but you had to tune in.
Yeah.
So it was already broadcasting. So when you start to touch the energy of your vision, so let's just say the one we just came up with, if the person's feeling the joy and the energy and the power and the inspiration, that's you literally tuning into the state your music is playing. Now, that energy is the song of your soul, the beat of abundance, the symphony of success. That energy is the truth about you. Again, the picture may or may not be exactly how it turns out, but that energy is literally your soul or your seed or your true potential actually connecting to you.
Mm.
And as now the next step is we have to start to design a practice and a way of life to stay tuned in to that energy.
Yeah.
So okay. that we eventually have like a preset button on the radio dial where we just hit the button and we're right there on that station.
Mm.
And we start and to, so that, go ahead.
Is that, that's the personal development and it comes in play.
Right. So then that's the personal development. So we have to now actually do something. We have to, for, you know, maybe we have a meditation practice or a visualization practice or journaling practice.
Yeah.
Or as I talk about in what I call the lift practice, L-I-F-T, living in the feeling tone.
Yeah.
There are certain things we begin to do in our life. Like, okay, if my vision is to do this, what can I do on a daily basis to move toward it? Or if part of this feeling that I feel when I imagine this vision is joy, what other things would bring me joy in my life right now?
Yep.
Or if part of this feeling is feeling peaceful, what things can I put into my life or take out of my life to bring more peace into my life now?
Yep.
And as we start to design a life inside and out so that we are more consistently feeling in alignment with that visionary vibration, then that's like tuning into that station. And what starts to happen is what's on that station is not just music, not just energy, but guidance, direction. And other people are also tuned into that station. So now that you're tuned into that station, you all start getting connected. And pretty soon, you know, you're bumping into somebody or they're calling you. And they're also tuning into that station, and they're exactly the person you need to meet now in the next conversation that unfolds because you are tuned in.
Hmm. Yeah, makes
and
a lot of sense.
Now the next thing unfolds, and the next thing, and the next thing.
Okay, now you talk about this, I'm sure, in your book, Law of Emergence, in a lot more detail, yeah?
Absolutely. The book is actually called Emergence. The principle is the Law of Emergence.
Law of Emergence, sorry, yep.
Yeah. And the practice or the process that allows you to activate the Law of Emergence, you know, actually experience the full emergence of your life. The practice itself is called Emergineering.
Emergineering.
There's actually an engineering. This is the personal development side. You are engineering a life like a gardener engineers the soil and the environment to make sets up different things, puts like little posts, little lattice work, little net, does all these little things to engineer a space and an environment where that seed can flourish. So you're engineering your life so that your life, because right now most people's lives, it's a life by default, not by design.
Yeah.
And it's a life that is set up to keep you where you are, mostly out of self-preservation and protection. It's not a life that's designed to get you where you ultimately are meant to be. So you have to consciously design that life inside and out. And I walk you step by step through how to do that.
Love it, Derek. Excellent stuff and really great way to just sort of get the lips wet, I guess, and get that energy behind it. And I think it's going to be inspiring for a lot of the audience listening to this. So, thank you. I know you've got to run, Derek. And for the audience, guys, we're going to wrap this show up. Typically a little bit earlier than normal, but I want to get through a few quick round questions if that's okay, Derek.
Yeah, and before we do that, just so people know, I'm not going to leave you guys hanging with nothing to support you after the call.
Yeah.
You guys, if you want to get the book Emergence, you can go to myemergencebook.com, and when you grab a copy through that site, I'm going to give you over $1,000 in additional bonuses, training and coaching. And then if you also want to get a mini e-course, audio course that augments and supports the emergence process, you can go to lawofemergence.com and get a free course there as well. So you're going to have some very specific materials while you're waiting for the book to come. You can dive into this course and get supported and trained so that we want to keep the momentum going. If you're feeling inspired or feeling the resonance, I want you to have something starting today to begin to work with. Keep the momentum going. And then if you get the book, when that arrives, you'll really be able to dive in and we'll just keep building from there.
Fantastic stuff, mate. I appreciate you sharing that. I'll stick that in the show notes too, Derek. So for the audience,
awesome.
Just jump onto thehiddenwhy.com and you'll have all the links at your fingertips there. Cool stuff, mate. I am interested in checking that out too. So a couple of quick round questions. We've got about 5 minutes, I guess. So, first of all, what's your favorite food?
My favorite food. I would say my favorite food tends to be stuff that's alive and vibrant. Like I'm literally drinking right now some kombucha.
Yep.
Which is organic raw probiotics. But also I really, really love like a really good piece of chocolate or a really good ice cream or a really good, I love a good dessert. So yeah, I would say those are my yep. favorite foods.
Favorite leisure activity?
Say that again.
Favorite leisure activity?
Oh, my favorite leisure. I really, really enjoy like hanging out with friends or family and eating really good food and having really great conversation or playing games. And I also really, really love watching great movies and TV. I see so many principles and get so inspired and moved by great storytelling.
Yeah, nice. Have you got a favorite book quickly just for the audience that you'd like to recommend?
So many books. I think, one of my favorites was Stephen Covey's The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People on kind of the somewhat business and personal development side. Yeah, I've loved Marianne Williamson. I mean, I love Stephen Covey because it's not like some trendy, this is based on really deep lifelong study of the core principles of success. That's why that book was on the New York Times list for like a decade or more, because it's principle. And that's what I'm all about, is discovering these perennial principles that you can find them in the great religions, you can find them in the great philosophies, but they're not religious or they're not philosophical. They are core principles that when you practice them, your life works better.
Yeah.
And that's what I loved about Stephen Covey. He was all about principles. And it's just a great man.
I'll stick that in the show notes. One piece of advice would you give your 20-year-old self?
Well, the first thing I would whisper in his ear on a regular basis is, you're enough. That's the first thing. And I would just keep reminding him, you're enough, man. You're enough.
Yeah.
You're enough. Nice. And then the advice I would give him is just – relax, because he was very ambitious, just relax, just take a breath, get still, and just enjoy the ride, enjoy the journey, because the days sometimes feel like they're never going to end, but the years go by in the blink of an eye.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. All right, I've got two more questions for you. What is the meaning of success?
To me, success is the progressive activation and expression of your true potential. So there's no end. There's no like, okay, I've done it, I'm successful. It's on a regular daily basis. Am I progressively intending and being willing to express who and what I really am and why I'm alive?
Yeah.
If I'm going for that, regardless of the results, that to me is a successful life.
Yeah, well put. Well summarized. What does living life with passion and purpose mean to you?
It's the same. They're kind of the same as success. It means moving in the direction of my greatest joy and my greatest love and my greatest inspiration, and aligning and designing a life where that's where I primarily live. So if there's people, places, things that aren't that, then I either need to dig deeper so that I can see them in a way that makes them that, or I need to have the courage to move out of those relationships, conversations, and activities in the direction of the thing that is my joy, my passion, and my love.
Yeah, great. Love it, mate. Love it. So suitable for the show. Pity we have to wrap up early, Derek, but I'd love to get you back on the show at some stage down the track.
Be my pleasure, man.
For the audience, guys, you can go to derekrydell.com and find out more about Derek and all that he's got available there. We'll stick all the links in the show notes. So the link to the book, myemergentbook.com, is that right?
My Emergence Book. So myemergence book.com.
Got that. Yep.
Or lawofemergence.com.
Lawofemergence.com. Yep.
We'll yeah, and I also have notes. I also have a podcast. It's just called Emergence, and there's about almost 100 trainings on there, so they can always check that out too.
Cool. Awesome. Podcast as well. Mate, excellent stuff. Fantastic to connect with you. Love how you have just explained and broke everything down for us. So that's fantastic and exactly what the audience needs today to take them to that next level. So thanks for connecting. And guys, hope you've enjoyed this chat. Let me know if you did. Let Derek know. Thank him for coming on the show. And until next time, peace, passion, and purpose. See you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Hidden Why podcast, where it's all about living life with passion. For all the latest news and updates, please subscribe online to thehiddenwhy.com.
There you go, gang. Really hope you've enjoyed today's show. A couple of quick favours to ask. Number one, if you haven't already subscribed, please subscribe online at thehiddenwhy.com and also to the podcast, The Hidden Why Podcast, just so you can keep up to date with what's going on in the scene. I do a newsletter, plus I release about 5 shows through the podcast platform a week, so there's really good information and great guests coming out. Perhaps not everyone you'd love, but there's certainly going to be some that will inspire you to take your life to the next level, like today's guest. Also, guys, if you could just leave me a review at iTunes, that'd be great. Help spread the message further, and I get to reach more people through this process. And just share it with your network. Any episodes you love, just do me the favor of sharing it with your network. Lots of things to request of you, and I do appreciate you coming on the show. So if you can, great. If you can't, just keep on listening, keep enjoying the show. And until next time, you know what to do. You need to go out there and breathe more passion into every single moment. You need to find more purpose in everything you do. And in doing so, you will discover your hidden why. Your hidden why will flourish and your life will be taken to the next level. And that'll progressively improve throughout the course of your life. This is The Hidden Why, guys. This is The Hidden Why. Lee Martinuzzi signing out.
Thanks for listening to the Hidden Why podcast, where it's all about living life with passion. For all the latest news and updates, please subscribe online, thehiddenwhy.com. This is The Hidden Why.
Are you ready to discover your hidden why, to discover your life's purpose? Then jump onto thehiddenwhy.com and download my free discovery questionnaire. It's designed to help you connect with what's truly important in your life, and in doing so, create more freedom, fulfillment, and happiness. This is the Discovery Questionnaire. You can download it at thehiddenwhy.com under the Resources tab. Discover your hidden why.